Today is the beginning to build. We're building for the season. Drew is off this week. He is working on his in-house studio to hopefully improve the quality of Good Morning Gjallarhorn. But this week, join me as Jinka Allende joins us to talk Vikings football. Blow it with Jinka, baby. Bow. Gjallarhorn, and we are back for another fantastic week of talking Vikings football, and we've included a special guest. With us today is Jinka Allende, a young man that has been featured over at Daily Norseman, obviously a member of our very own network at Climbing the Pocket, also works with Zone Coverage and a video broadcast vlog just like this one that includes Arif Hassan and Luke and Andy and personalities you know from far and wide across Viking land. I want to welcome Jinka to this wonderful vlogcast. How you doing, Jinka?
I'm doing well, David. Thank you very much for having me on. I'm excited to finally get on Gjallarhorn. I've heard a number of the podcasts you guys have laid out, but it's good to actually just be on an episode.
Well, that's cool. Well, the big one thing we like is that we're a video production. We can sit and look at each other. We can talk. And then once we finish recording, we'll go into post-production. And we can add bits and pieces that you don't normally get on a regular podcast. A regular podcast is audio only, and it's great for when you're driving to work, all for it. When you're mowing the lawn, all for it, right? It's a good thing. If you're out on a boat fishing and you want to listen to Vikings football talk, podcast is the way to go. But if you're at home and you've got some time on your device, on your TV, if you got Apple TV, anywhere you want that you can hook up to YouTube, you can watch it and you can see the extra bits, the bits of the plays, the bits of the humor, you can see us, right? And it's a wonderful thing that adds just that extra bit that you find only at Climbing the Pocket Network. And we appreciate that. Jinka, tell us a little bit about yourselves. You have more talents than just Vikings football.
I don't know about all that, but yeah, I try to keep myself pretty well-rounded. I'm a musician. I play the saxophone. That's my primary instrument. Love to play it. And, you know, I try to do as many shows as I can. I played at a wedding a number of weeks ago. I also have a degree in music therapy, so that's where some of my other instruments kind of come from. I can also play piano as well as guitar. And yeah, I enjoy just working with clients when I, you know, was in school and being able to use, you know, something that I am passionate about and do well and just use it to, you know, work with a number of people.
Well, you're pretty good on the computer with music as well.
Yeah, I a weird thing is sometime last year I just had these melodies that were just in my head that I needed to get out in some form or another. And I just found, you know, just GarageBand on my Mac, and I just started, you know, poking around and stuff, and I was able to get some of those melodies out finally. And you know, the music that we use for Climbing the Pocket, as well as the Pocket Protectors and a few other podcasts. Yeah, that's some of my babies, which I'm actually really proud that we were able to do that.
I think it's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Now, as you know, we're a Vikings football podcast.
We are.
Besides your other talents, and there's one you're leaving out that we'll talk about a little bit later, let's talk about the game this last week against the Seahawks. What were your impressions of the Vikings taking on the Seahawks?
Yeah, I have some, I think there's still some good things that were happening. There is still a little bit of concern that I have. Some of the good things is Stephon Diggs. He's just a cheat code. He's a wide receiver that we are very, very blessed to have. I'm not saying that he's Randy Moss by any means, but I think he's arguably probably the best wide receiver we've seen since Moss. Maybe you throw in Percy Harvin there, but the things that he's able to do on a weekly basis, the play that comes to mind was Kirk Cousins, very good pass, back shoulder throw, and Stephon Diggs looks over his shoulder and just reacts to it in a split second in a way that the DB couldn't defend it at all. And you would like to think that you could just throw passes like that all the time, but it was just so special to watch, and you can tell that he is on another level as far as wide receiver play. I think Kirk Cousins played well. He looked a lot more comfortable this game than he did against Jacksonville. He was, making a lot of tight window throws. He, took the checkdowns when they were there, was fairly accurate in allowing our wide receivers to, run after the catch, which is always a great thing. But we do have to mention some of those concerns. Obviously, the offensive line is still quite a bit of concern. I was a little bit worried about the interior pressure that was being given up. There was a number of throws that I felt like Kirk wasn't really at fault for, but he really couldn't, step into the throws or climb the pocket, hashtag brand. that's going to be an area of concern. I think Riley Reiff is still playing at a really decently high level. Right tackle is still something that we're trying to figure out, but more so those interior three, left guard, center, and right guard, who's going to be the guys on the day one roster. And I would like to figure that out sooner rather than later because Kirk needs some consistency.
Well, the Vikings yesterday traded with the Giants for center/guard Brett Jones.
Yeah, and everything that I've seen and read from Brett Jones is really good. I think PFF scores tops out about the 15th ranked center last year, ahead of Elflein. So, if he does need to step in that center role, that he's going to do a pretty good job, as well as he does have some position flexibility. He can play those interior positions. More importantly, that left guard spot, I think that's still a little bit up for grabs. So I do like the fact that the Vikings made the move, and I think we all knew that they needed to make some sort of move to help out their offensive line. And the fact that they only gave out a seventh rounder for a guy who was the 15th ranked center in football last year, I think just kind of speaks to really wanting to continue to improve our team in all aspects. Another good thing that happened in the game is the Vikings defense still looks fantastic. Eric Kendricks had a fantastic pass breakup on a deep shot from Russell Wilson. You're looking at Danielle Hunter being able to be a fantastic run stuffer. You just have another number of players who are flying everywhere and making plays.
What did you think of Iloka's debut in purple?
Oh, you could tell. The thing with a guy like Iloka is, he was supposed to come here 2 years ago and stuff, and I think this guy is probably still in his prime. Those kind of guys, you always want to see them stand out when they're playing amongst twos. And I think it was very, very clear that Iloka was, he was a standout. I mean, you obviously saw the interception from Ant Harris, but, it was caused by George Iloka. That's the kind of stuff that you want to see from a guy who could potentially make his way into your nickel package. And I'm not saying, I don't think he's going to take Andrew Sandejo's spot. I think a lot of people need to understand Andrew Sandejo is a lot better than he's given credit for. But I mean, with George Iloka's size and just his range, you could see him be that big nickel, stepping in and, maybe moving him down into that, linebacker spot, in nickel situations and whatnot. So I was glad to see him making plays when they were there, just because we definitely needed it.
Well, Coach Zimmer at the beginning of the season talked about flexibility with the defensive backs.
Yeah.
And that the fact that he may want to use more than three or four corners and more than three safeties on the field at any one time. And since we are so blessed with depth and skill at both corner and safety, I look forward to him mixing something up, you know?
And, yeah, definitely.
And possibly revolutionizing the way defenses are played, you know, at the back end.
So, yeah, I mean, you see in college, if you're watching some college tape, you are seeing some teams using three safeties. And obviously with, you know, with using three corners and one going into that nickel role, obviously, you know, you're really great against the pass, but, you know, some teams on some of those third and short situations, you know, present pass, but then they go into the run. And it's really nice to have a guy who's really rangy, who can, again, also be a run stopper as well, too, because you can bring Harrison Smith down into the box. You can bring Andrew Sendejo into the box as well, too. And then obviously it helps you with the, you know, to defend against the RPOs. You do have some position flexibility with having three safeties on the field, one who can really be a safety and the hybrid linebacker, as well as, you know, has some coverage skills and stuff. And then having the ability to move Harrison Smith wherever you want to move him really can open up the playbook, as well as, you know, be more creative on that back end.
Oh, I agree completely. I think it's going to be fantastic. And speaking of being fantastic, what are you looking at for the 2018 season?
As far as record goes?
As a record and how far the Vikings go.
I do have them right now tentatively at 10-6. I've said that they're hovering around 10-6 right now. I think that beginning of the schedule is going to be pretty brutal. I would not be surprised if we came off slow. But I'd be okay with them coming off slow, because I do feel like this is a team that's going to click towards that middle of the season, and I could see us going on, you know, a 6-game, you know, win streak or whatever. Kind of like really similar to how 2015 started. You know, you started 1-2, and then you win against Atlanta, and then you win 6 straight. So I could definitely see that be the case for the Vikings this season. I do think there's still some chemistry things that need to start to click. I think Kirk has found who he likes to go to. He loves finding Stephon Diggs. And actually, he's getting a little bit more chemistry with Laquon Treadwell. I've seen him target him and look his way a number of times on film review. Where I would like to see him get a little bit more chemistry is Adam Thielen, and not necessarily manufactured passes, but more looking his way on, you know, some of those second reads. So I do think that we're going to start off a little bit slow, but probably settle into about 10-6, you know, getting that playoff spot. I have the Packers still winning the division, but I think that the Vikings will at least win one game and make it to the divisional round of the playoffs. And from there, I don't know if they're quite there yet to really make noise this season.
Okay. Well, you and I disagree on winning the division. I think the Vikings are strong enough to win the division and will win the division. I don't think all the Packers have is Aaron Rodgers. And yeah, he can make magic happen up there, but they are not as strongly built across the board as the Vikings. And I think some of those weaknesses are going to end up showing up. You talk about Kirk's chemistry with Adam Thielen. I agree, that needs to grow. And I think it's just going to take a little time to recognize that yellow glove go up. And once he gets comfortable with that, it's going to be bang, bang between Thielen and Diggs. Diggs and Thielen, red zone's going to be, you know, more of Rudy and hopefully Treadwell. And Treadwell last week did surprisingly well. I was pleased.
Yeah, I think the thing with Treadwell is, which I was pretty happy about, is he is getting used quite a bit in red zone type situations, but also he's really getting used a lot in third down situations, which I think is really, really nice, because losing a guy like Jarius Wright, I think it will show our efficiency maybe a little bit more so on third downs. But if Laquan Treadwell can step into really being that, you know, he can be more of a possession receiver, he can really make some noise in the red zone. I mean, you want him to be more, obviously, being the first round pick. But as far as this season, what you can get out of him, I mean, that would be fantastic if you can get that out of him. But fans need to understand that, you know, if Laquan Treadwell starts to step up a little bit more, so he's getting targeted more, all that stuff. As far as the market share, it's going to be taken a little bit from Adam Thielen more so than anybody else, because Adam Thielen, I would still consider a possession receiver. He's probably going to, he led the team in targets last season. And I think that's where he really, his strength is. So if Laquan Treadwell starts to eat into that, just understand his numbers probably won't reflect how good Adam Thielen actually is, which is okay, because that just means the offense is being that much more efficient, especially if Adam Thielen or Stephon Diggs were to get injured. You really want to have a guy who can step in for a few games and whatnot.
Well, God forbid that doesn't happen.
Right.
But, yes, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think – and you said the word efficient. I thought – that was my opinion of Kirk Cousins in this last game when I rewatched the tape. His play was very efficient. I think that's going to get us a long ways. I think it's going to get us through the early part of the schedule. I don't think we're going to be scoring 30, 35 points a game at that point in time. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the slow start comes in. I think it's going to be those, you know, 24, 20 games.
Yeah, grind them out.
24-17, where, you know, our defense is a major, major portion of it. But I think by the time we get in six games into the season, I think that offense is going to be clicking. And as long as the offensive line gels and stays healthy, see, I don't see a ceiling for him. I see him winning the division and going the entire way. So hopefully I'm right.
Yeah, I definitely hope that you're more right than I am in this situation.
That's cool. Now, the one thing I alluded to before we talk football is that you are an actor, and I have seen a teaser for a short film. Mm-hmm. When and where can we watch that film?
Yeah. Yeah, it's great that you brought it up. Yes, I am an actor. I call myself a black actor. It's a short film that I shot last year, winter time. It's funny to me because it was really, really cold out when we were shooting. But it's called Heart Wound. It's a story of a young man who has a child, and he's going through the growing pains of having a child, as well as going to college and, you know, not having very much money. And, you know, one day his estranged father, who was in Africa for a number of years, kind of comes back on his doorstep wanting to reenter his life. And he's trying to go through all the emotions and feelings of having someone who wasn't in his life for a number of years, trying to get back into it and really letting him in and stuff. And the premiere was in, I believe, in February. Right now, it's actually going through the festival circuit, so the director really wants to get it entered into a number of festivals, and he didn't want to release it to the public until the festivals are, you know, he gets those in, and then he can, you know, because you never know what happens with those. They could always be turned into, you know, feature films and stuff.
And win awards, hopefully.
Exactly. So that's what he's doing right now. I should probably hit him up soon just to see if I can see where the process is as far as that, because I do really want to release it to people. I got a chance to see it, and you know, you try to not to be too critical of yourself when you see yourself on film, but the way that everything was came together beautifully. Number of people worked very hard on that film, and made me look a lot better than I actually am. So I'm very thankful
for Well, that. When it does get released to the public, please let us know so we can provide a link and show it and spread it around for your great talents, because you are one talented young man.
Thank you very much.
I just wanted to say that. Well, we're at the end of the show. Is there anything that you're working on that you would like to promote?
Yeah, I'm working on a few pieces. I got a chance to interview. I mean, he's now injured now, and I feel bad about it. But I had a Ade Aruna feature that I wanted to kind of write about his time just being a Nigerian-born player who came from Nigeria, came over by himself. He told me he went through a number of stories. We actually kind of have a family connection that we were able to gloss over. So I'm working on that, as well as I'm also working on this piece that kind of centers around how the league is really treating its backup quarterbacks in that position and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because as we've heard, you know, the backup quarterbacks is the most popular guy on the team, you know, because everyone wants the backup quarterback. The years of, you know, Ponder, when it's like, put in Joe Webb. And, you know, when last year with Case Keenum, put in Teddy Bridgewater. But I'm working on a piece in which I'm going to highlight how the league should start shifting their mentality behind that. And yeah, that's what I'm
working on. Well, that sounds interesting, because I was just thinking this morning that the love affair of the backup quarterback on this team right now isn't as high as it normally is.
No.
Right now, it's the love affair for the number three guy.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's interesting. Well, we always say goodbye to our fans. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, no, I appreciate everyone here at, you know, Climbing the Pocket Network. We're doing a lot of great work. I mean, we have Good Morning Gjallarhorn. We have Scolgers. We have Pocket Protectors. We have, you know, the draft board. We have obviously the flagship show of Climbing the Pocket. So yeah, we have to thank our fans and whatnot. We have a new sponsorship that we're really trying to roll out here in the next couple of weeks. It's called Thrive Fantasy. It's just another fantasy app that you can use if you don't really like the, you know, the standard daily fantasy football stuff or whatnot. Just so fans should just look out for that. Look out for any links and sponsorships as far as that. So we're really excited that they chose to partner up with us.
Oh, that's awesome. And we also have some great writers that go along with it. It's not just the podcasts or the video from us, the old timers, me and Drew, and it's also Realistic Randy, and the network is growing.
And absolutely. And
it appeals to across the board. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, and the definitely. Football knowledge is beyond compare. Yes, beyond compare. Well, I want to thank you for having you on the show today. I appreciate it. Good luck, and Skol Vikings.
Skol Vikings.